People of God in Christ, this morning we come back again to our Matthew series, and we find ourselves still in the Sermon on the Mount. And we find ourselves needing once again to take a kingdom perspective on the instruction of our Lord. And let me just ask, stopping and asking again, is He your Lord? Which is to ask, do you believe that Christ has redeemed you from the tyranny of the devil? A Christian is not just a person who goes to church, but a person who believes in Jesus. And believes what about Jesus? That He, Jesus, by His death and resurrection, has redeemed you. That He therefore owns you. You belong to Jesus. Which though you do not own yourself, yet you should find a marvelous comfort in belonging to Jesus, to be owned by Christ. Because otherwise, you would be owned by the devil. The devil is a very real spiritual force in this world who is intent on taking as many sinners with him into hell in the end. That's really what we need to understand about the evil one, is that he is intent on taking as many sinners with him in the end into hell. So to call Jesus your Lord is not something that you should do begrudgingly or to any degree half-heartedly, but eagerly and gladly, because he loves you. And you love him even as you trust that he is your Redeemer. And he is your king. Well, this is the perspective that we need as we consider the next passage in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. Otherwise, if we do not have this perspective, if we do not hear this instruction as spoken by the Lord whom we love, then we will not understand it. After all, what sense does it make to command someone not to be anxious? That's the repeated command, the recurring instruction that we hear throughout this passage. Even from the first verse, verse 25, we hear the command of Christ, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Then in verse 31, "Therefore," says Jesus, "do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" And then again in verse 34, for safe measure, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So there can be no mistake, no missing the point, that the teaching of Jesus here is the call, even the command, not to be anxious. And yet, what good does that do us unless we have believed in Jesus? And believed what about Jesus? That He is our Lord, and that He has the power and the authority as our Lord to deliver us from all anxiety. I want to start this morning with the bare command, do not be anxious. As a first point this morning, do not be anxious. I'm sure that you've had plenty of times and an abundance of situations in your life in which you have found yourself anxious. But anxiety, I think, has become for us just a euphemism for fear. Since it's not considered acceptable to be afraid, to be riddled and paralyzed by fear, well, we talk about anxiety or worry instead of fear. Maybe it's just too humiliating for us to admit that we are afraid, that we lack courage, that we are not brave, and so we speak of anxiety rather than fear, or we even just call it a disorder or a syndrome or more of a psychological condition. And granted, Jesus did not use the word for fear in this passage. Instead, he spoke of anxiety, or as other versions of the Bible say, worry. Do not worry about tomorrow. But can we admit that that's what Jesus is really talking about. When he says, do not be anxious or do not worry, he is saying, do not be afraid. We ought to note how often we hear Jesus offering these words of comfort in the gospel record. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. In Luke 5, when Jesus does one of his first miracles in the presence of Peter, Peter falls on his face before Jesus and says, go away from me, a sinful man, O Lord. And Jesus responds, do not be afraid. In John 6, as Jesus comes walking on the water on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night, his disciples are frightened by him. But he says to them, it is I, do not be afraid. In Mark 4, when the disciples find themselves in a boat about to be swamped by water and they about to be drowned with Jesus, you remember, asleep in the bottom of the boat, they wake him up only to hear him rebuke the wind and the waves. And he says to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And even after his resurrection, I'm just giving you a survey here. Even after his resurrection, having proved himself triumphant over death and the grave, yet he still must say to his disciples, the ladies who had come to find his tomb empty, he says to them, In Matthew 28, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, for there they will see me. Brothers and sisters, I want you to hear this morning your Lord saying to you, do not be afraid. Whether we hear it from Luke 2 or from John 6 or from Mark 4 or from Matthew 28, let us hear, to our great comfort, the word of our Lord, do not be afraid. You need not be afraid. But can we believe him? Is there comfort for us in his words? You probably know that anyone can say, do not be afraid. You probably have had the experience of having someone say to you, oh, don't worry about it. Don't let it bother you. I'm sure it will all work out in the end. And granted, it's nice when someone says such things to us. It certainly helps to have a friend come to our side and to speak such words in our ears. Don't worry. It's all going to work out in the end. And yet, do we not still worry? Are we not still anxious? Is there not at least some, if not a lot, of fear still within us? Because who finally are they to tell us not to be afraid? And so who finally is Jesus to tell us not to be anxious, do not be afraid? We need more than just the words. We need more than the bare command, do not be anxious. And so here then is the second point, a kingdom command. Because our Lord does not just give us a bare command. We ought to admit that it is a command. Do not be anxious is an imperative statement. It is a command, and given that Jesus is king, then we must hear these words as a command of the king. Do not be anxious, which means that when we are anxious, as we are afraid in this world, we are disobeying our Lord and we are dishonoring our king. Think about it this way, that if you set out on a trip and you take someone with you because they know the way to get to the desired destination, you are not going to make the trip very pleasant for you or for anyone if you are constantly saying, oh, are you sure this is the way? I think we might be lost. Are you sure we're not lost? I think you don't really know the way. The person you took with you to show you the way is likely to say, well, why did you bring me along? Just be quiet and follow my instructions, would you? Parents are likely to do this with their children, pastors with their congregations. Parents might say, hello, remember me, the one with twice or even three times the experience that you have. Why don't you listen to me? Parents might say, here I am, the one, pastors might say, here I am, the one you called as your pastor, the one who spends time every week studying God's word and praying and preparing to preach to you each week. Why don't you listen to me? And in the same way, who is the one who says to us, do not be anxious? Are these only words just based on the probability that our fears won't be fully realized? No, this is Jesus speaking. Your King is addressing you in order to say, do not be anxious. And that's why, of the three times in our text that we hear him say, do not be anxious, every time he begins with the word, therefore. In verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And in verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And in verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Which means that there's a basis for his command. There's a firm foundation for his call not to be anxious. And it's the firm foundation of his own kingship, of his own kingdom. Look again at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And so when Jesus continues his instruction in verse 25, the point is that he does so on the basis of you having answered that question the right way. No one can serve two masters. And therefore, if you would serve Christ and not money, then here's the benefit. You need not be anxious about anything. If you decide to serve money, then by all means, worry away. Be anxious every day. But if you would bow your knee to Christ, then do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. In the same way, in verse 31, Jesus instructs again, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And they're the same anxieties that he named in verse 25. But once again, he begins with the word, therefore. Therefore, do not be anxious. And what he says before, leading up to the command not to be anxious, is that God cares for the birds, he cares for the flowers of the field, and if he cares for them, then how much more the people of his kingdom? And for a third time, in verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. And what is the word therefore? Therefore. The word therefore founds the command not to be anxious once again upon the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's just that once again, like in verse 24 and 25, the call not to be anxious is based on the right answer to the call of Christ. You cannot serve God in money, says Jesus. So serve God and you need be anxious for nothing because I am your King. Seek first the kingdom of God, instructs Jesus. And when you do, if you do, you need not be anxious for a single thing that you need. So here's the third point and the key to an anxiety-free existence in this life. The key is seeking the kingdom of Christ. Our problem is that we don't do that, and so we suffer anxiety. The degree to which we fail to seek the kingdom of Christ is the degree to which we will experience anxiety in this life. And the degree to which we do seek the kingdom of Christ, to that degree, we will be anxiety-free. It's that simple. It's that simple in terms of logic, but it's certainly not that simple when it comes to actually doing it. Because what do? We seek our reputation in the world instead of the kingdom of Christ. And in seeking our reputation in the world, we worry about what people are going to think of us. We seek our wealth in the world instead of the kingdom of Christ. And so we worry about money, whether we're going to have enough to keep us alive or to more often to keep up our preferred standard of living. And ultimately, regardless of the particular worry, it's really death that we're afraid of. But here's the problem. Christ has not made us a single promise that will secure and ensure even one more day in this world. Christ has not made us a single promise that will ensure that we have food to eat and clothes to wear. And someone might say, well, what do you mean? Right here in this passage, Jesus is talking about having food and drink and clothing and survival in this world. Isn't this a promise? Well, yes, but you do know that you're going to die, right? It's a promise, but what exactly are we being promised? Because you do remember the martyrs, right? Those who, for their very faith in Jesus, were stripped of their clothes, thrown into prison, and some of them left to starve to death. How does this apply to them? So what Jesus, or what is Jesus promising here? As our Lord, He is promising that if God, our Heavenly Father, wants us to have food and water and clothes to wear, there is no chance that we won't have it. And He is not telling us not to work, not to earn a wage in order to see our needs met. Instead, He is promising that God will provide so we can relax. Not relax in the sense that we quit working, but relax in the sense that we quit worrying and fretting, going about our work in fear and desperation and anxiety. Don't do that, says Jesus. Exactly because you don't have to. That's what the Gentiles do. That's what unbelievers do. They work because they are desperate and daily afraid of death. In order to see this better, we simply need to see within our text that to be anxious and to seek are really the same thing. In other words, it's not just the feeling of anxiety that Jesus is commanding us not to feel. That's when you start to wonder, well, how can He command me not to feel what I just feel? Instead, He is commanding us not to be anxious in the sense of not chasing after food and chasing after drink and chasing after clothing, not living for even the basic necessities of this life. In verse 24, He sets before us a choice: serve God or serve money. But serving money doesn't necessarily mean getting rich. You can make the mistake of serving money and still be poor. To serve money, all you have to do is to make that your central purpose in life. When you're serving money, your main purpose is life. And when you put it that way, can we not hear that it's going to lead to anxiety? If your main purpose in life is to stay alive, and yet you also know that you're going to die, well, then you're bound to be anxious. When will death come for me? You don't know, so better work harder, better stack up more wealth, better put in more hours. And so someone might try to solve it by saying, oh, I'll just be content with what I have. But it doesn't work because it doesn't deal with death, and it leaves us yet with the main purpose simply to stay alive. And so according to the instruction of Jesus, to be anxious is to seek after life in this world. That's why Jesus says in verse 31, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear?' And then he adds this, 'For the Gentiles seek after these things.'" He might just as well have said, "Do not be anxious about your life, for it's the Gentiles who are anxious about their life." Or he might have put it this way, "Do not seek after life, for it's the Gentiles who seek after life." And that's why he adds, "For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." The difference between believers and unbelievers is that believers have God as their heavenly Father. And do parents, at least good parents, do they require their children to earn what they get? No, parents freely give their children what they need. They also teach their children to work hard, an important skill in this world of work. But good parents don't deprive their children of food. And neither will God, our Heavenly Father, deprive us, His children, of anything we need as we live within this world. "So do not be anxious," says Jesus. "You need not be afraid so long as you are seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But seek first the kingdom of God," says Jesus, "and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If we can get this, if we can gain this kingdom perspective with God as our God, with Christ as our Redeemer King, then anxiety will be gone from our lives. Because God can provide us whatever He wants us to have for as long as He wants us, for as long as He wants to leave us in this world. And if He has decided to withhold life from us, well, it will only be the length of days that we have here, because Jesus has promised us eternal life. Jesus has promised us resurrection from the dead and a place in His new creation. By the promise of Jesus, we always have the new heaven and the new earth to look forward to. And so this passage is not the promise from Jesus that we will have a trouble-free life in this world. It is not the promise from Jesus that His people will never go hungry and never suffer. We can see this clearly even as we finish the passage, because verse 34 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." There will always be plenty of trouble in this life. Have you figured that out? There will be trouble today. There will be trouble tomorrow. So why worry about tomorrow's trouble when you've got enough trouble in this day to deal with? But why worry at all? Why be anxious for a life that cannot last forever anyhow? And why be anxious at all when Jesus is your King, when Jesus has redeemed you, when He owns you and you belong to Him, so that you have His promise for resurrection and eternal life? And yet, what do many people do at this point? They say, at least to themselves, "No, but I will live for this life. I will serve money and not God. I will seek first the things of this world." And so they are anxious. And so they chase after what they need instead of trusting that God will provide whatever He wants to provide for as long as He wants to provide it. The only way out of a life lived with anxiety is to quit living that particular life, which doesn't mean that we take our own life, but instead that we learn to say, as the Apostle Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary now." How did he know it was more necessary for him to remain alive and in this world? Well, because he was still here. He was trusting God to decide when it was time for him to go. But he was always ready to go. Are you ready to go? Because to die is to gain for the Christian. To die is to depart and be with Christ, the one whom we love, the one who is for us as he reigns above. Or to put it in the language of Matthew 6, the only way out of a life filled with anxiety is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does it mean to seek the kingdom? It means to receive in faith the promises of God in Christ. It means to hear the commands of the Sermon on the Mount, always remembering the decrees of the King by which the sermon begins. It means certainly not inventing promises that Jesus never made. He never promised you a trouble-free life. But he does provide you with the way, the only way, to live a life free of anxiety. Quit worrying about silly things like food and drink. But if I don't have them, I'll die. Yes, and what's wrong with that? What's wrong with death when you belong to Jesus and he has promised you heaven? But what if people don't like me? What if people think I'm nothing? But you are not nothing. You are a believer in Christ. You have the King of Kings as your friend and your Lord. What does it really matter what people think of you? And even if it did matter, there's no set of clothes, there's no tattoo you can put on your body, there's no car that you can drive, there's no job that you can get that is going to keep you alive in this world. And people are just as likely to hate you for what you have rather than to love you. Now, I'm almost done, but let me say just one more thing. Let me point out that if I've been able to explain this passage to you and to give you the kingdom perspective that delivers you from anxiety, well and good. But tomorrow is a different day. This afternoon is a different hour. In other words, we must not only gain this perspective, we must also keep it. If we do not keep it, we will find ourselves right back in the anxiety when things are going bad for us. Or we will find ourselves sailing through life when things are good, sailing through life, but setting ourselves up for the fall when things come crashing down and fear once again fills our hearts. So, brothers and sisters, gain this perspective now, but keep it daily. Return to God's word often. Remember that you belong to Jesus. Remember his promise for resurrection and eternal life. Remember that you are living in a world that is passing away. And then, and only then, will trouble come and we smile upon it. Whatever the diagnosis, whatever the development, whatever the danger, whatever the loss, it may not be what we wanted, but it will make little difference because we still have Jesus. We are still living in his kingdom of blessing, and we can still die to the gain of heaven. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing us by faith into your kingdom. We thank you that you are such a good and loving King and that you provide fully for us, that you have provided already by your death and your resurrection, your ascension on high. We thank you that in you we have everything. We have all that we need. So help us not to worry about things like food and drink and clothing. Help us not to care so much what people think of us, because we know what you think of us. You love us, and we are the apple of your eye. So help us to bow our knee to you. Give us that faith. Give us that humility, and keep us from the pride that would make us think that we can be kings unto ourselves. Instead, may we bow the knee to you. May we receive the glorious opportunity to live a life free of all anxiety. We ask and pray in your name. Amen.